and welcome to The Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm Jan McCarthy with Entrepreneurial Voice, and we're here to talk about the life of an entrepreneur. And we're here every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and this is Real Radio on the Internet. You can find us at www.skidrowstudios.com, and you can also call in and talk to us. Our guest today is Nora, and she is from Jacket Society. And the number you can call to chat with us a little bit or ask questions is 1-800-893-9562. And we are going to be talking about entrepreneurship and with Nora specifically to find out her journey and what she's been doing and how she got started. And she's going to share some advice and also tips and just exactly how she got started. So welcome, Nora. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here for my first ever radio interview.
And you're going to do splendidly. I'm absolutely certain. So we met recently, and I love your jacket. So you are a designer, and you have a line of jackets, and the name of your company is Jacket Society.
That's correct.
So tell us a little bit about you and how you got started with all of this.
Okay. Well, I'm a fashion designer by profession. I went to school years ago to Otis and graduated, and I worked for many companies. I've always had a passion for jackets. Even when I worked for other companies, like putting a collection together always kind of started with jackets for me. I mean, personally, I love jackets. I think they just kind of bring your whole outfit together. And also when I design, I always kind of start with that and then put other things around it. So I always wanted to do a jacket line. About 5 or 6 years ago, I had an opportunity to do a line with another partner of mine. And I wanted to do a jacket line, but they kind of talked me out of it, saying that it's not going to be enough to sell just jackets, that you really, really should do a collection. So I kind of gave in and I did a whole collection thing. And even though it was a very, very good learning experience, because I basically did everything from beginning to end, it was overwhelming. It was too much to do. And I kind of later on regretted that I didn't just stick to jackets. So this last year, it hasn't even been a year, when I had an opportunity to start something again, I thought of, you know what, I'm going to go back to my original concept of just doing a jacket line. I just don't see anything out there like this. Like, especially in LA, there's a lot of t-shirt lines, a lot of jean lines, which are all beautiful and they're really nice. But really, nobody does item jackets. And I think that women really could use a really good item jacket line to wear, actually, with jeans or with the t-shirts or dress it up and wear it to work. The thing about jackets is that it's so versatile that you could wear it so many different ways and at so many different ages and just style it differently. So I think it's a really good concept. So I'm just really believe in it. And it's brand new. So it's the beginning of it. But I really believe in the concept.
Well, you brought up several points. And one is that you wish that you had listened to your intuition. Mm-hmm. And so often, as an entrepreneur, as anybody really, and just in life in general, mm-hmm. we need to trust that a little bit more.
Absolutely.
And then the second thing is you talked about how you're so passionate about this. Mm-hmm. And that's really what drives you to become more successful, is to having that passion and having that why of what you want to do and being focused on that and exactly. continuing forward with it. Right. So going back to mm-hmm. like when you were small, mm-hmm. did you always know? Of course, every little girl probably right. loves fashion, I'm assuming, or at least a large majority. Did you always think, this is what I want to be when I grow up?
It kind of ran in my family in the sense that my older sister, I was born in Iran, but I'm Armenian, and she used to have a couture house type of thing in Iran where they would actually make couture dresses for a lot of clients, high-end clients. So I kind of grew up around that, and I saw she's a lot older than me, so I would go to her, place and see how they would sew and design stuff, and I always, always loved that. When I came here and I went through college for the first year or two, I wasn't sure because everybody discouraged me into going into fashion.
When did you come here?
I came here, I was really young. I was only 13, so I actually went to high school here first. It was okay. before the revolution happened in Iran. So mm-hmm. I was just coming here to go to school and possibly go back. But my family ended up moving here because they're Armenian, they're Christian. So when the revolution happened, they didn't want to stay in Iran anymore. So I ended up staying here and going to college, to high school and then college. And I really wanted to go into fashion, but I wasn't sure because everybody discouraged me, told me there's not enough jobs in design and those kind of art, and go to computer, you know. And so I did a year or two. I kind of took computer classes, did all this other stuff. And then I kind of started, you know, like seeing that I don't like that. I don't like working in an office or going to an office. I was working part-time as well. And I took a chance. I was dating somebody, my ex-husband, and he really encouraged me to actually going to try it. You know, if you really love it, like you said, if it's your passion, you will find jobs and you will succeed. And so I looked into schools, and I really wanted to go to a very good school. And Otis College of Art and Design back then used to be Otis Parsons. It was part of Parsons of New York. Mm-hmm. And it was a good four-year program that really taught you everything from, and you would also get a bachelor's degree. So I really wanted to do it the right way. So I went through 4 years of art school, extensive fashion classes and stuff. And I loved it. As soon as I started doing it, I knew this is really what I wanted.
Made your heart sing.
Yes. I mean, it's really amazing to kind of, that click that happens when you're mm-hmm. kind of like, you know what, this is really what I love. You know, just looking at fabrics, buttons, you know, fitting stuff, draping stuff. You kind of look at it and you're like, you know, I really get this. I think this is what I'm meant to do. So the college experience was great. It was a lot of hard work, but I really loved it. I was so happy that I went into it. And I was able to find a job right out of school. So it was never like, oh, there weren't any jobs and it was difficult because I worked throughout the first like 10 years. I didn't have any problems getting jobs and working, you know. So I think I made the right decision, but it took a little while. And you're absolutely right. You have to kind of stick to your passion and belief and kind of really want to take that chance.
Well, there'll always be a lot of naysayers, and it's hard not to give in to that. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have people that you love or mm-hmm. people that you care about coming at you saying, no, this isn't going to work. You're not going to be able to find a job, this, that, and the other.
Exactly.
A lot of times their comments are kind of based on fear.
Right.
Not because they don't think you're capable, but you know, it's based on fear, and
right.
and it's hard not to give in to that and say, well, gosh, maybe they know more than I do. Mm-hmm. Who am I to think that this could work?
Exactly.
But yet it's been working for years mm-hmm. for not just for you, but I'm right now, mm-hmm. but it works, and it really boils down to having that determination and that perseverance and that passion and not giving up and
exactly.
recognizing that they're, yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Maybe I won't mm-hmm. find a job. Maybe this thing that I tried didn't work. Maybe this type of jacket doesn't work, but
right.
this type of jacket will work.
Exactly.
So just being able to continue with all of that.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, do you think that there's certain skills that you have that has enabled you to succeed where that is?
Well, You kind of mentioned the fact that you really do have to have a lot of perseverance and patience, and you have to really love it enough not to give it up, because it's like many other fields. Fashion is a very difficult competitive field, and it's a very, you know, you could be really doing really well one day and the next collection could be really bad and they could fire you in a company. So basically, you have to feel very secure within yourself that, you know what, I am good at this, I can do this. If it's not going to be this, it's going to be something else. And be able to not take it so personally and just believe in yourself and keep going. And that is tough. It's easier said than done. I mean, even for me, there's been times where I've taken a year or two off, or I've tried to do something else just to take a break from it. But I've always believed, like, I am a designer, I really want to do this, and this is what I do best. So I think just having that belief in you and trying to be able to keep that within you is really important. The other skill sets, I mean, as far as all the technical stuff, those are things you can learn. It's the hard part is really the emotional part, to be able to be strong enough to believe in yourself and keep going no matter what, you know, obstacles come in front of you, because no matter what, you're going to have that anywhere. So
right.
Yeah.
No, I think those are great, great points that mm-hmm. you made. Now in school, mm-hmm. did they teach you someone once told me, because I used to do interior design, they said in school you either have it or you don't. Mm-hmm. But they'll teach you all the other things. Mm-hmm. Did they teach you how to go and find a manufacturer, how to get your labels, how to do patterns, mm-hmm. Or how to find a pattern maker?
Right.
Did you know all of that coming out, or was it
not
like,
really? No.
Learn by fire.
Yes, I think with artists, they are very they believe in the creative end of it, really very much, and they really push you in that end, which I think is great. The design part, how to put a collection together, what works, what doesn't work, proportion wise. Fabrics, how are fabrics made, draping, making patterns, sewing. Yes, all those technical things you learn really well at Ode, especially that you get 3 full years of specifically fashion design there. 1 year is just general art. But as far as the business end of it, or even how to go about, the last year they teach you how to do a resume and how to look for, you know, go for interviews and stuff a little bit. But overall, I think the part that's lacking is really the sales and the business end of it, because that's such a big part of it, that you really get out and you go and you work as a designer, and then you try to learn some of the other things at the job, because those are things that you do not learn at school. So if you really want to, you almost have to take a business degree at the same time. I think it's a very good idea. Like, I wish looking back now that maybe I had gotten an MBA or some kind of a marketing or sales degree meanwhile or afterwards, because I think that is going to be really helpful, because the creative part isn't enough, especially eventually if you want to do your own thing, because it takes so much more than just designing. Do a line.
And I think just as a disclaimer, we're not promoting Otis or any school in particular, but they're all really great schools, and there are a lot of them out there. But it's good knowing going in, if you think that you will come out and just automatically know how to mm-hmm. be a designer, that's not always the case. And
no.
So being aware is really good information for anyone who may be thinking of any profession, really, or any kind of business that they're looking at starting. Are they going to get all of the things that they need from that training? And I'm all for you going and getting the training.
Right.
And I love that they also really help to foster that creativity within mm-hmm. you and help to encourage people to, the students to explore and find out what they're capable of.
Right.
And also, they are business skills of learning. I mean, especially in a creative endeavor, mm-hmm. You have to be able to color outside the lines. You have
exactly.
to be able to think outside the box. Right. And as an entrepreneur, those are things that are very beneficial
very.
For you.
Absolutely.
So those are great things to experiment with mm-hmm. in a school situation and recognize that you can be far more successful mm-hmm. when you are able to create something that's unique and really that speaks to who you are mm-hmm. is very authentic. And your jackets, what mm-hmm. I love about your jackets, not only are they absolutely beautiful, and
thank you.
And you're welcome to show them, because I think they're so exquisite. So if you want to get up, it's
sure.
okay. You can
sure.
get up, and you know, we're not set like we can't move.
Okay.
So. But hold it in front of the screen for just a second people can
is that good or?
Can see it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is, for example, it's basically just a blazer, a 3/4 sleeve blazer, but the fabric itself is a really beautifully, it's a brocade, and it's an Italian fabric. The fabric is kind of what makes it.
Yeah. So one of the things that is great about that is that we see, you can hang it back up if you
okay.
want to. We can see that it's very authentically you. And that's important too, as an entrepreneur, to mm-hmm. be authentic about what it is that you're doing. And if you
yes.
were making socks, or I mean, maybe you love socks, but if you were making something else that really didn't speak
right.
to you,
mm-hmm.
your passion's not going to be in it. So whenever you are out there selling your jackets and showing your jackets, you wear them, you love them,
mm-hmm.
you know exactly how they should hang and how they will flatter a woman's figure and all
right.
of the different things that it's a lifestyle that they can wear with the jackets. And that's what's really important
mm-hmm.
about whatever business it is that you're doing.
Absolutely.
So I love that we have that, and that we're able to speak to that particular mm-hmm. part of entrepreneurship that is so important.
Yeah.
Because people really want to know the story.
Yes.
And what how did you come about doing mm-hmm. this? Yeah, whenever they're buying the jacket, they love right. knowing that this is designed with love and care and attention to detail and very specific things. And it's not just a matter of, oh, let me just produce a ton of jackets and then sell them.
That's a very interesting point because that's where my blog basically comes in, because I kind of feel like the connection between the two is what really makes the Jacket Society work in both ends, because that's what I do on my blog. I do stories about the jackets that I design and where they come from, you know, from my mind or from whatever I got inspired by, wherever we go and shoot. And I also show how to wear it, and I explain how you can wear it with what kind of stuff you can wear it. And so really the whole thing kind of started from a blog story about jackets. And then I thought, really right after, I thought, oh, you know what? Why don't I also do some jackets that are specifically my own designs, and I can promote that and sell that and talk about them. But I talk about jackets in general. If you go to my blog, you'll see that I do cover other jackets from other designers too. So that's kind of how it started, because I was so passionate about this one particular thing. And I thought it makes it easier if you do have a point of view about something specific and you can talk about it, it makes it so much easier. Even if I do other things, I still come back and, you know, kind of tie them together. So the blog story basically is that's what it does. And it just talks about the whole concept.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Because a lot of people wonder, well, how do I get started? And mm-hmm. and regardless of whether you're a clothing company mm-hmm. or whether you're something else, do you start online? Do you start trying to get into stores right away? You know, what is the best way to start? Mm-hmm. And so I love that you basically just started from this desire to mm-hmm. share your passion for jackets mm-hmm. with a blog.
Yes.
You built up relationships with your following mm-hmm. And now you're moving forward, and then you started designing your own line. Mm-hmm. And it also helped you to, I would assume, kind of get a feel for what your ideal customers,
Absolutely.
Because the ones who are following your blog are obviously your ideal customers,
yes.
and get an idea for what they're looking for in a jacket
yes.
as well.
Yes, which is what I always ask, and I get comments. Like whatever story we put up, we always say, please, and I would love to get more comments. Every week I wish people would say more. And you ask them for comments of what they think, if they like it, if they don't like it, you know, and so that helps a lot, you know, because really the direct consumer feedback is so important for a line that you're doing. So and when you're selling directly to a consumer, you could really get that through a blogs that you're doing or you know, because other ways it's not very easy. It's kind of distant. But if you're doing it online and you're doing it on a blog story, you could connect with your consumer directly very easily. And that is really satisfying because you hear all kinds of stuff. Or if you're doing shows, it's the same thing. You hear the negative and you hear the positive. But sometimes it's good to hear that because it helps you go forward and do things differently or change, or, you know, or at least you know you're doing the right thing if they're you know, responding to you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Good. And it's business, not personal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And the ultimate bottom line is that you want to be able to sell your jackets and have the people
exactly.
who wear them love them in every capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's great. So, you know, there's, you obviously knew from the training that you've had in the past, like mm-hmm. who do I go to mm-hmm. to get this made
mm-hmm.
and how do I get my labels done and, mm-hmm. and all of that. What made you decide, because right now you sell your jackets via online,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
And you sell them at various
shows
that mm-hmm. you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you've just been in business for a year.
Less than a year, even.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was it specific that was the way you wanted to start out? Do you have intentions to kind of stay that way? Or are you looking to get into a store?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
what are your thoughts
yes.
there? And how did you come up with that that philosophy and that strategy?
That's a good question. Because I've done this before, and when I did my first collection, I did it the conventional way, which is you put a collection together or your line together, and then you go out and you find sales reps in LA and New York, ideally, to begin with. And these sales reps, they go and show your line and get you orders. And once you have those orders, you have about 3 months to produce them. Then you go into production. And so that is really, saying it very quickly, is the way most companies do a product line. And I did it that way, and it was fine. But I kind of wanted to do it a little bit different this time, or at least try a different concept this time, because I felt like I wanted a little bit more control in the sales end of it, and the interaction between the consumer and myself. And also that I think there's a big void out there for this shows or opportunities where designers can sell directly to the consumer. There aren't many. And it's amazing, because now that I've actually started doing it, I see that there really is very limited amount of shows or opportunities where you could do that. So, but I kind of was trying a different concept. So the main reason I didn't go the other way was completely intentional. I wanted to just sell it on my own website and also try to do small shows, home shows, shows through my friends, because I'm cutting very small quantities of jackets. I'm trying to make them very unique, where I'm only cutting like 10, 15 pieces of each jacket, and it's for specific customers. And when they buy something, they feel like they're getting something unique. There's not that many made. You're not going to walk into a store and there's hundreds of them out there. And I kind of can create this relationship with that my customers, where I can develop these jackets and they'll come back and get them, you know, every few months, and it'll be a relationship. And it doesn't have to be a huge business, but it's a very small but satisfying and creative kind of business, where you get interaction with your customer. You hear what they want, and you could do it. You could turn it around very quickly and sell it to them without having to wait through the whole going through markets and sales and production of big, you know, big production for stores.
Which has huge headaches, and you really don't have control of the quality, and you also have to, then you have to think about, well, am I American made, or do I have to produce this overseas because my costs are so high, and the buyers are saying, they're going, you've got to get these costs down. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And made in America for me was very important. I wanted to do it small, but I wanted to do it here and make it here. I kind of feel like that was a big support for all the production companies here who have faced that in the last few years. But there are a lot of little shops still that make stuff, and they make it beautiful. They do a beautiful job. I mean, look at my jackets. They're all made in LA, and their quality is really good.
It's just exquisite.
You do have to maybe pay a little bit more, but if you're selling it directly to the consumer, some of that markup is not there anymore, because again, you're not marking it up three times because you're going through a store.
Right.
So there is an upside to it for sure if you're selling it that way.
Well, the thing is that these jackets would probably cost the same amount in Nordstrom or Barney's or probably even more if they were at Barney's. But the bottom line to you is still probably the same.
Right. Exactly. Because to me, it's the same, but for them, you know, for the consumer, it's going to be more expensive.
Because you've been able to cut out all the middlemen.
Right, so. Exactly. Which is really, I mean, I think if you think about it, I mean, I'm not saying that's something that's going to happen, because we all need stores, and that's definitely a viable end also. But I think that there are other areas where we could look into, where just the consumer can buy directly, which I think online is that. And there are a lot of stores like Zara, for example, H&M, all these big stores. They're huge stores, but they are going directly to the consumer. Mm-hmm. That's where their prices are, what they are. And because there is no middleman, they're the store is direct from store to the consumer. But mine, I don't have a store, but my online shop is my store. So I'm doing basically the same concept. I'm selling it directly to a consumer.
Right.
So I think it's a very strong concept. It's just that there's, like I said, there's not enough shows. There's a ton of shows that you could do as a wholesaler to sell to buyers. But for someone like me, we did Unique LA, which was a great show for us. But unfortunately, there's not many shows like Unique LA out there where we could have that exposure that I can just bring my jackets and it'll be open to public and women can come and just shop directly from me and talk to me and I can show them how to wear it, how to style it, and create a relationship that way.
Right.
So those are the kind of, that's kind of the downside of what I'm looking at because I'm trying to find those kind of shows and there are not many of them yet. But I think that that is an area that will grow more.
Well, that is changing and I actually know a few that I'll share with you too. But there's also, I mean, that area is changing and also one thing that, you know, having to be aware of what, I mean, first of all, you're thinking outside the box by doing what you're doing versus just going the typical way that most people would whenever they're trying to design their product.
Right.
And then the second trend that or another trend that I see happening. So not only shows like Unique LA, but another trend is stores that actually feature and focus on a few exquisite designers.
Right.
And so that's also something to look into and just being able to keep up with your market because, again, I want to go back to the fact that a lot of times when people are thinking about becoming a designer, think, oh, well, these are the normal channels that I have to go through and they're not really, here they are very creative, but they're not being creative in their marketing or being creative in their sales distribution. So these are really important points to take a look at. And not that either one is right or wrong.
Right.
It has to speak to you and be in alignment with what it is that you feel comfortable with and also recognizing, you know, what works best for you.
Absolutely, yes.
So I think that's it's a really good point to make. I do want to add, if anyone's listening and you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. If you have questions for myself or Nora, the number is 1-800-893-9562. And you can ask us questions.
Yes,
we won't bite. Let's talk a little bit about your marketing, the fact that you chose to go online. Did you know how to build your own website? Did you, was that
no.
Was that a headache? I mean, how did you get going with that?
Well, my husband knows a little bit about that. I mean, he's in sales and marketing, so he does know a lot about websites. When it comes to the technical part of really putting a website together, though, we did hire someone to help us do that. Even though there is a lot of, there are things that you can get and it shows you how to do a website or how to create your own website. We kind of felt like, you know, it's a one-time deal. It is worth it to invest in that one time, having a website that's going to be easy to maneuver. I myself buy stuff online and sometimes I like websites that are so easy that you could just click on what you want and it's like self-explanatory and you could just check out and pay and it's done. And there are a lot of websites that don't work that well. So it was very important for us that that basis was there and it was right. So I did have a company that helped to design the original setup of the website. But after that, basically everything that's put on from my blog to new product, everything now is done by my husband, basically, who helps me with all the sales and marketing end of the blog and jackets.
So it was very important for you when you were building this website to have a website that then you could control.
Yes.
So that was something
exactly.
that you had to really take a look at. Mm-hmm. All right, so is this a website that's fine once it's done? It's it's done and it or is it something that I can still go back in and control from there? So those are important questions to ask when you're getting a website done.
Exactly. And some people, whoever is designing your website, depends. Some of them may be hesitant in telling you everything because obviously they want your business and they want you to go back to them for everything that goes wrong. So the more you know, and I think because my husband knew a lot about that end of it, he kind of made it clear. And the person that was doing it for us was someone he knew and he kind of made it clear to him that I really need to be able to go back and try to change things or maneuver. And so that was something that we discussed with him from the front, you know, up front. And it was important for us to get that done, yes. But there are things even now that we are still reaching out to answer or get tweaked on. So I'm not saying everything is perfect constantly because you're still learning. But for the general part, I would say it was the original design. And then after that, we've been able to maneuver the rest of it ourselves.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So now, had you been familiar with writing a blog before you started your blog?
No, absolutely not. And it was I'm not a great writer. As you can see, I have an accent. I'm not, my English isn't perfect. So writing for me, it wasn't like, it didn't come that easy. But I think the good thing about blogs
is that...
But
that didn't stop you. And I love that. So Dawn is better than perfect, right?
Yes, yes. And so, but I think it's with personal blogs, especially fashion blogs, because you're really writing about clothing and how to style and how to put things together, it really needs to be like you're talking to the person. So if it's just about having a conversation or talking about something, then it was very easy for me just to type that up, you know, because it was like as I was writing it, and it still is I'm just saying it, or I'm talking to myself or to whoever it is, my client in front of me, kind of like what I'm doing with you. So it kind of came easily. In the beginning, it was kind of like, well, what do I write? But as soon as I would start talking about the jacket or what to wear with it, or, you know, it would just kind of easily come and I would just type it up.
You found your voice.
Yes. So it's not, it's written in like a very simple language of how I would just discuss it with any customer or client. So no, it wasn't easy, and I wasn't sure if I was going to have enough to write. But now that I've actually done it for a while, I kind of find it really interesting and actually really satisfying, because I kind of like writing about it. It also, you know...
It's kind of like a diary.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So I actually really like it.
And it allows others a peek inside your kind of closet.
Yes, yes, exactly. Definitely.
So you got your blog started, and that was really the basis of, mm-hmm. of kind of launching your company. And you got your shopping cart and all of those, mm-hmm. and that's part of the web designer. How did you decide what your social media strategy was? And I know I looked mm-hmm. at your blog, mm-hmm. but, or at your website, and looked at your blog quickly, but I didn't notice mm-hmm. What other...
Yeah, we do.
What other things you have? Do you have Twitter? Do you
have
Pinterest?
Yeah, and we do. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Instagram. And we have Pinterest, basically, and the blog. So when we started the blog, the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter were pretty much very quickly done at the same time. I mean, it was just right after everything that I started on the blog. I would soon after, you know, like write about it or... on Facebook saying, you know, check out my new blog story. And Facebook was very good. All of a sudden, we did get a lot of followers on Facebook right off the bat.
And what do you think contributed to that?
Well, I have a lot of friends. So it was quickly in the beginning, it was a lot of word of mouth and friends who liked it. And that shows up and other people start liking it. And also we did do some advertising on Facebook.
Okay.
Where you promote or you boost your page. And mm-hmm. so it shows up. On sidebars or on you know, people
sure.
who've liked it. So I think that we did some boosting in the beginning for sure, and that really did help get a lot of followers or more exposure. With Instagram and Twitter, it's the same. It's been a little bit slower, but it's definitely growing little by little. It's just a matter of how much you really put. The more content you put out, the more visibility you're going to have, and so the more followers you get. So I try to put something up every day, at least on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest a lot. Not because on Pinterest is a little bit different. It's a lot about different pictures that you get inspired by, and it doesn't have to be your own product necessarily. So I do put a lot of stuff, and it's very visual. So I think visual things like Instagram and Pinterest are very good for fashion because it is sure. very visible. I mean, it's like people, just, if they like a picture, then they're attracted to it. So I try to put more things up on Pinterest and Instagram that are quicker in that way rather than stories, which might be more about Facebook or the blog. So I think the social media thing's been great. That's another thing that now is so important for people who are thinking of having a new business or a small business to promote. I mean, 5-6 years ago, again, when I did my other collection, there was nothing like this. I didn't have any of this. This is basically like to some level, free publicity that you get that you control, which is really the good part too, because you basically control what you put out there and how much you want to put out there. You want to put 10 pictures on Instagram a day, you can. You want to do one, you can. So you have really good control over it, and you can do as much as you want. You could tweet all the time, or you could tweet once a day. So it's a good way of controlling it and getting your word, you know, your name out there. It's been really great. I mean, I have to say social media right now is really, really important for a small business to launch, for sure.
And especially when it's a business that has something that you can show an image with.
Exactly.
It really, and being able to, all those different touch points for the customer, having them be able to see it and hear it and read about it and all of those different things
is great. It's been really, really good. I mean, YouTube is another thing that I've heard a lot of people mention, but I haven't really gotten into that. But people have told me that YouTube is also a very good way to go.
It
because
is.
You could actually do videos and show your product on the video and how to wear it or what to do with it. So those are things that I'm looking at maybe down the line, but right now we're not doing that.
It is. In fact, all of the things that you've mentioned are really good. And so I think, but sometimes they can get really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so you have to be very strategic and smart about, otherwise you could find you spending all of your time doing social media and none of your time sourcing your fabrics or designing your jackets or any of that. So, so there's a real fine balance.
Yes.
So how do you find that balance?
I think that it's really being really super organized. I know that may sound really boring, but it really is. Like, you kind of almost have to have a schedule. For me, like, you know, I would start the morning, and for me, first thing in the morning, it's all about social media. Whatever I'm going to put up for the day, whatever it is on Instagram, Twitter, everything happens in the first couple of hours of the day when I'm still like having my coffee or getting the day together. So first thing in the morning, that's all out of the way. And then the rest of the day, I, you know, commit to, let's say, 2 days a week, I would say I really go and look at stores or work on designing or getting design inspiration. And the other days, you know, it could be more, you know, working on the blog or coming up with stories or locations for the blog. So you have to kind of have a schedule that works for you and stick to it. And I think especially with social media, you definitely have to have a set time in a day where you kind of say, okay, this is when I'm really going to concentrate on this. And
because you can go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly. And you can spend hours and hours there. And then it's not just that. It's also the blog part takes a lot of work too, because I'm also on Blog Lovin', and I follow other bloggers, and there's definitely a community that happens in the blog world that you want to keep going to. So you need to go and look at their sites and comment on their sites, because they do that for you. So it's ongoing. Like, you can, like you said, you could literally be on the computer the whole day if you want and just be on the social media side, but you have to kind of draw the line and say, well, okay, if this is what I'm going to do first thing in the morning, I got to get away from it and do something else. Or in the afternoon, I'm only going to do design or production or whatever it is that you're working on project-wise. And of course, as you grow, it gets more difficult because your projects also become more and more. So you have to find a way to handle it all. But I think I write a lot of notes, and every night I write what I need to do the next day. And I kind of try to really keep it simple and go by those notes and stick to that schedule of what needs to be done on that particular day and stick to a schedule. And some of that comes from just years of working and the
having to prepare for shows that were coming up and all of that.
Right. I mean, it just you kind of get used to why, you know, you have to. And it's a 7-day-a-week job. I mean, basically what I'm doing now, I work Saturdays, I work Sundays. There is no check in and check out. It's basically I work from home. And so it's constant. Like, I could be working at night, but then during the day I may take an hour or 2 hours off and go to my son's, basketball game. So the good part is that you could be flexible in that way. But
or
the bad part
come
is
for an interview.
Or come for an interview. But the bad part is that it is you're constantly on. So the social media thing sometimes you could even go on it at night and work on it. So it just depends. I think the bottom line is whatever works for you, just you have to really have a schedule and try to stick to it and be organized. Because if you just do one thing and stick to that, and then you'll be like, oh, wow, I forgot, and then I missed the deadline, because fashion business is all about deadlines too when it comes to actual product. The deadline thing is so important, like all the shows, you have to be on top of what seasons and the shows and the deliveries and all that. So it is a really tough thing, but it's doable. You just have to be very organized.
Yeah, no, that is great, great advice. And you also, intentional or not, so many say that in order to be most efficient is to batch different things together. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you were describing, is batching in terms of doing, okay, I'm going to do all of the social media within the first 2 hours of the morning. And it works well because I've got my cup of coffee.
Right.
And then I'm going to do this. So very, very great advice to share. And I think that really helps people to know about that. Now, I actually get emails from Blog Loving, but I don't really know what that is. When you said you're on Blog Loving, does that mean you're one of the contributors?
No. Blog Loving is a site that you could basically just sign up for, and you have to have a blog. Basically, anyone who has a blog can be part of Blog Loving. You don't pay for it or anything. It's free. What it is that every time that you write a blog story, it comes up on their site.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you could get exposure, basically. But I think most people, that even though it's not strictly for people who are blogging only, but I think a lot of bloggers are who go on Blog Loving rather than the general public. Like, for example, I have a lot of followers on my own blog, but I think that's just the general public. It's my clients, people who are interested in the Jacket Society line. On Blog Loving, I think a lot of it is what I call my blog peers, I almost want to say. There are a lot of them have their own blogs, and they just look at other blogs, and you kind of see what other bloggers are doing. But there's all kinds of categories. It's not just fashion. And so if you sign up, you can go and, for example, put in the search engine you're looking for bloggers that do, you know, interior design more or those kind of things. And a bunch of people will come up. So it was something that I wanted to join because I wanted to see what other bloggers were doing and maybe possibly learn from them. And because I am new to it and I really don't know that much about it. And it's great because you can really find friends through that, two people who blog, and you contact them. Some people I know, they meet regularly. And I've actually reached out to a few bloggers and I've asked advice from them. Some of them have been sweet and they've written back, and some don't, but some do. And that's really great because you can really learn from people who've done it for a while and they know what they're doing and they're willing to share their experience. So I think it's a really good little site, especially if you're blogging about any kind of a topic. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like too, especially for fashion designer like you, there's so many blogs that are from stylists that it really helps them to find out about you as well.
Right.
So that's a great venue to pursue and check out. So you work out of your home, and you've got a family. Mm-hmm. How do you motivate yourself? How do you, I mean, you don't have someone saying, all right, you're fired because you didn't show up on time. What motivates you?
Well, I think that with what I'm doing right now, I love it. You know, I think that's really the motivation, is because what this particular project that I'm doing right now, like, again, we're going back to what you're passionate about or what you've always wanted to do. You know, I feel like it's my little baby. So I kind of, when I get up, the first thing, you know, I do think about it. I do want to go and see, you know, what emails I got, what people are writing on my site, what people are saying about my blog. So it's something that I look forward to. It's not even like work. You know what I mean? There's times and days when it is like you're going to your contractor and the jacket's sewn completely wrong. And it's kind of like, oh, you want to kill yourself. So there's days like that, of course. But in general, it's something that I really like to do and I enjoy. So that's kind of what motivates me to want to do more or to hang in there, because I know this is a really good concept and I really believe in it. And I think that if it's not today or tomorrow, it might be next year, but it will pick up and it will happen. And I know that it's a good product to back, and I really like it and have the passion for it. So it's worth my time. And so I kind of feel that way. So it motivates me to want to do, rather than, it's interesting because I had a job prior to this. I took a couple of years off and took a job in at one of my relatives' companies, who he does furniture design and actually beautiful stuff. And I was doing mostly like fabric sourcing for him, and it was still somewhat creative, but it really wasn't. And I did that for a few years, and it was a job. It paid really well, and it was good, but there was something missing, you know. So when you say, like, I wasn't motivated to go to work there every day necessarily, but right now doing this, I'm really motivated, even though I may not make as much money right now because it's a brand new company, but I get up and I really want to do it because I have a love for it. I believe in it. And it's almost like your little baby. So
yeah,
the motivation comes, again, from the passion that I have for it.
So you obviously want to grow. But mm-hmm. What is success for you? So does it mean being in, you know, having, selling 500 jackets a month? I mean, being in stores? Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you want to take this? And did you put together a plan beforehand saying, this is what mm-hmm. what I want to achieve? Well, and that doesn't mean you might not move the finish line
right.
or change those goals, but what would success be?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I think anybody who does any kind of a product line wants their stuff to be all of everywhere, and then you want everyone to wear it, and you want it to be, you know, sell it to everywhere. And so of course I want Jacket Society to grow and be possibly in a lot of stores, but I want to do it in a really kind of like a slow way and do it the right way. And if that means doing it this way, not for me to really learn who my customer is and which direction is the best way to go, then that's why I'm trying to do it this way. And also it's the concept of it just being different and doing something differently. The bottom line is, yes, I mean, I wanted the jacket line to grow enough where, you know, I could be in stores and I could sell to a lot of women, and I could expand it into other products. It could be tops, it could be bottoms. It doesn't have to be just jackets.
And that's what I wanted to know.
Yes, yeah. Eventually, of course. I mean, if you have a successful brand and you do get a following, you need to grow. I mean, you do need to offer other products or do more and more in order to grow. But I think that needs to be a slow growth and very carefully thought out. And not just jump into doing, you know, it's like next month I'm going to start doing some pants to go with the jackets. It's not how it's going to be. So as we're learning what is the best way for us to go, I will decide how much I want to add to it. But for now, I'm happy with just doing the jackets. I do feel like we need more exposure, obviously, because like I told you, I just the online isn't enough because we do need a little bit more. So I need to find
and
other
fighting
shows.
You're fighting a lot of other people
exactly.
out there to get exposure for
right.
your product.
Exactly, because there's so much. So those things are things that I'm trying to learn and find ways to deal with. But eventually, if I could find shows where I could do those shows and online and just even a few clients, honestly, that is really, I'll be really happy with that. I am not looking for like a huge, huge business. Even a small profitable business is good enough if I can do it and love it and not be overwhelmed by it where I'm not going to be able to do my job. Then that's a different situation. But for now, I think we do need still more exposure. So I'm still learning what would be the best route to take the business into next.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that makes total sense. Now, how about, I wanted to ask, so the fact that you do want to eventually design other products mm-hmm. or even bring on other products, I know you have, I believe you have jewelry, because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. you know I love your jewelry, I already told you that,
and
but I didn't see jewelry on your website yet.
Yes.
So is this jewelry that you plan to design yourself?
No,
or is it jewelry that you would be bringing from maybe someone else?
Yes. If I was to design any other product, I don't think it necessarily be in the jewelry or accessory area, because I've never done that. I'd rather have someone's work that I really admire and show them on my website and sell them on my website rather than do something myself. Other clothing maybe, but not necessarily jewelry. So jewelry, I felt like I've always loved jewelry. I like big, bold jewelry, and I like small, delicate. All kinds, depends on your outfit. So it's just a matter of finding some unique stuff and something that would work along the line with my jacket line. So it would kind of parallel the line in a right way. And it would be me as well, because my jacket line is so much about myself and my sense of style because of the blog and everything, that the jewelry line almost has to be the same. And because it's not going to be my own design, it's got to be somebody that I really feel like everything they put out is going to be what I like. Or it doesn't even have to be one. It could be a few different designers. But I haven't really looked to find that. But eventually, that is something that I am looking to possibly add. And even like scarves or maybe other accessories that could be a good add-on to a jacket.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask, actually, because the name of your company is Jacket mm-hmm. Society. So if you start having, you know, dresses and right. all of these other things, what you're saying is that it's like, well, does that still represent what her brand is? Mm-hmm. And branding's so important. Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like everything you're talking about, either designing yourself or bringing mm-hmm. on to add to your online store mm-hmm. and on your website, it'll all focus back, go back to the jacket.
Yes.
It's all about
yes.
the jacket and what goes with the jacket.
Yes.
Rather, really, than the other way
right.
around.
Exactly.
You know, just what can the jacket go with? No, it's everything needs to be mm-hmm. Attractive mm-hmm. with the jacket.
Yes, perfect. I mean, you said it perfectly. Because the name is Jacket Society, but what it really means is that everything for me starts with jackets. It doesn't mean that I don't buy pants, I don't buy dresses or tops, and I don't wear anything else with jackets. So obviously there's other things that I like and I wear and I buy that go with the jackets. But when I'm looking to put an outfit together, for example, it kind of starts with a jacket for me, and then I find other things around it, same with the jewelry. So exactly what you said, the name kind of represents that my passion is jackets. That's what I look for first. But then, you know, there's other things that work around it. And so eventually, if we do other things, there'll be things that will be supplemental to the jackets that I'm doing, things that would work back to the jackets, from jewelry to could be jeans, it could be all kinds of stuff. I don't know, because it's there's a lot of different possibilities. But jewelry being one of the things I love, was something that I kind of put, might be one of the first things that we may start covering.
Yeah, no, I think that sounds really, really great. I wanted to ask, what are some of the challenges that you face every day?
Sales. I would say the biggest challenge for me, and this is not just this time, it was last time when I did my business as well. I think sales is a very big challenge for me. Because I think that for any business, fashion business, it's really a 50-50 deal. If you can have the best product in the world, that's most amazing thing that, you know, nobody has ever seen. But if you don't have the right sales and marketing to really show it and to sell it, it will not go anywhere. So you could be very creative and have the concept, but you still need ways of being able to sell it. We are doing now, what we're doing is, I think we have the concept and the product, and we are doing the marketing part of it as well, because the marketing is a lot easier now. Again, going back to all the social media stuff, that you could do a lot of that. And I have my husband who helps me with that too, because he's good with marketing. But at the end of the day, you still need to sell your jackets. And so I'm still limited in that end of, you know, how do I get it to the consumer? How do I sell it where I, you know, it grows? And sometimes it just takes time. Websites take a long time to get going.
Build.
But meanwhile, you still need venues to sell it. So it's always been the difficult end for me, because all the other end, from the design part to even production, I can do, because I've done it all before. I know how to get contractors, pattern maker, everything. So the design and the production part, I can totally take over. The sales and marketing are difficult, especially the sales. The marketing, like I said, because we have so much say in it, we can control it somewhat. But I'm still trying to find and learn the ways of what is the best route or what's the best.
So whether it's like you mentioned sales. Home sales, or
yeah,
doing home
sales.
Shows or doing the shows,
right.
The different fairs.
Or do I really need to hire someone to go and sell for me? You know, that's also a possibility. But it's just what is the best way to really get the jackets out there. And so we're still learning that part. And that is really the biggest challenge for me. When you ask me that, I know right off the bat that is the biggest challenge.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, but do you have a piece of advice that you would give to an entrepreneur?
Well, I mean, my biggest advice would be just to really believe in your concept and have a concept. I mean, I think for any designer, especially, not just to go out there and do something new is not the point. You really need to have a plan. You have to have a concept. And the more focused it is, the better. And then just believe in it and persevere. Try to hang in there. Try to not say no for an answer, not take no for an answer, and just keep going and going, and it will work. If you really believe in it, it will work eventually.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for being a part of our show today.
Thank you,
Nora, the Jacket Society. Check her out, and look forward to trying on those jackets.
Thank you so much, Jen. I got the eye.